Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Janice P.M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday. It's August the 10th, 2023, and we're on page 99, paragraph 2, sharing and reading just one paragraph that begins with, if there be divorce or separation, the paragraph ends with, quote, it will be apparent to both parties. One paragraph only. Okay, well, today's readers are, for the 12 steps, it's Laura W., the 12 traditions, Kathy B. And our readers this morning will be Vanita C. from Alaska, to Jody E. and Sherry G.S.V. And our newcomer greeter, plus our sponsor's announcer, is Kathleen W. Our announcement person is Leslie W. Okay, so this is our preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Now, our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So now here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Laura W. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Vision for You family. Laura W., gratefully recovered from Ohio. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Laura W. from Ohio, thank you.
And thank you so much, Laura W., for reading the 12 Steps of OA. Now I would ask, please, Kathy B. to please read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Yes, good morning. I'm Kathy B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm from Oklahoma. These are the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning.
And thank you for your service to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Now, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Now, anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Now, our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that you share, that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. Now, to share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone to have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Well, today we're going to resume our study in the Big Book on page 99, paragraph 2. And it's going to be begin with, if there be divorce or separation, one paragraph only, and we ask you, and we ask now, Vanita C., if you would share, please, and read. Star 1 to unmute. Oh, Vanita, I believe I got the right person. Maybe she's having trouble unmuting. So we're going to have, I know last week, why don't we, I'll get all mixed up. Jody E., why don't you move up? to read the paragraph?
I'm right here.
Who's that? I can do that, Janice. Sure. Now tell me again the page and the paragraph.
Yes,
please.
Certainly. It is page, we're on page 99, paragraph 2, that begins.
Got it.
It's, okay. Mm-hmm. Please go ahead. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. This is Jody E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. If there be divorce or separation, there should be no undue haste for the couple to get together. The man should be sure of his recovery. The wife should fully understand his new way of life. If their old relationship is to be resumed, it must be on a better basis, since the former did not work. This means a new attitude and spirit all around. Sometimes it is to the best interests of all concerned that a couple remain apart. Obviously, no rule can be laid down. Let the alcoholic continue his program day by day. When the time for living together has come, it will be apparent to both parties. Well, yes, indeed. In my case, when I found a vision for you about 12 years ago, right around, must have been right around when it started, there was, we were on the verge of divorce. There was, it was a long story, but, ever since I found OA in 1988, which is 35 years ago, it took a toll on my marriage. Something shifted when I had a spiritual awakening. And our marriage was different after that. He had been my higher power. I had put him in the place of my higher power. And when I began to have a conscious contact with my higher power, he was no longer the higher power. Now, that was not his fault, but there was a lot of recovery that needed to happen. Anyway, so we did separate, we did divorce after I got abstinent. And fortunately, because of abstinence and the 12 steps, we had an amicable divorce, and I truly believe that was thanks to the program. And today our relationship is on a much, much, much better basis. We are friends today, and the anguish that we both went through is gone. It's like I need to release him, and he needed to release me. And we're both so much happier and calmer and more peaceful today. It's a good thing. So yes, no rule can be laid down. It's for each of us, each one of us, to pray about, to meditate on, and to work our program as if our hair is on fire and our life is on the line and our marriage is on the line, because it is. And no rule can be laid down. It's a very personal thing. I don't recommend divorce. It's not easy. But if it is the will of our higher power, then it must be. But that doesn't mean the relationship has to end, because it probably won't, especially if there's children involved. But the relationship can improve, as it has in my case. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Jody E., for stepping up. Thank you so much. So now I'm ready to take some names. And remember that although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? First name, last initial. First name, first initial to last name. Who's going to be first?
Mary G. in Arizona.
Yeah. Mary G., thank you. And who else would like to be after Mary?
Kathy M., Michigan.
Kathy M. Oh, you're nice and clear, everybody. Kathy M., okay.
Donna B.
Donna B. Okay, and you can give your state when you share. After Donna B. will be? All right, let's start with these three, and then you may get some ideas. So this morning, I'm calling on Mary G. from Arizona. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. And, yeah, I just got on, actually. It's so interesting. I was on another outreach call, and I had just shared that when I got married in 2005, I was at my very heaviest weight. And my husband was just like, you know, I don't care what you weigh. It doesn't really matter to me. But 6 months after I got married, I lost my weight. But I didn't understand that I needed to change, that there was something actually wrong with me. You know, it says here, the work has to be resumed on a better basis since the former did not work. I didn't know that. You know, I just thought my biggest problem was that I was fat. And so after 4 years of marriage, my husband asked me for a divorce. I was never so shocked in my life. I thought, what the heck? I didn't say this, but I thought, I'm thin. What is your problem? You know, I thought that was the only thing that mattered. And I realized, you know, the one thing that I did learn in the 21 years that I had been in program at that time was that I couldn't change my husband. I could only change me. And so I told him, I said, nope, I don't believe in divorce. If you want to divorce me, you do all the work. I'm not doing a damn thing. And the good news is we just celebrated 18 years of marriage. And he has stuck by me through a very chronic illness that he's been the most wonderful person and most wonderful husband. But I have changed. You know, I went to another program and realized that I was the problem, not him, you know, not the circumstances. You know, I saw what I was doing in our marriage. And, you know, of course, having the food down gave me the clarity and the honesty to be able to do that. And I'm just grateful today that, you know, I still work on our marriage, you know, all the time because, you know, I still think I can manage everything, my time, my, you know, whatever it is. And I have to do 10 steps on my emotions, on my disturbances, on my grief. You know, I asked someone the other day, I have a chronic illness that's progressive. And I said, how do you do a 10 step on grief? And they said, you know what? It's on life. You're not accepting life on life's terms. And I went, oh, is that what that is? Okay, and I did a 10th step, and it was marvelous. It just helped me go right through the grief. Not that I didn't feel the feelings, I did, but I could resolve them in this new way of living that is just wonderful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Janice, you're unmuted. Who's up next to read, to share?
Kathy M.
I think I am.
Kathy M. Yep.
Hi, this is Kathy M. from Michigan. Sorry about that. I'm compulsive overeater, recovered, and this section I always think like, oh, it's so irrelevant to me because I'm not divorced. I've been married for 35 years. But the 12 steps affects every aspect of my life. And since I've become recovered and continue to work my program, my marriage has changed dramatically and improved. And even my husband has changed. He doesn't understand the disease. He doesn't have a need to be in a 12-step program from an addiction point of view. But he has changed in response to my changes, and we've both become much better in our marriage with a greater mutual respect and acceptance of who we are. And I think that it's been an amazing change, and it's really helped the two of us. Just the fact that I'm in a 12-step program and I've changed how I react and accept who he is, and it's sort of like a back and forth. You know, when I change, he changes little by little, and even our adult children have noticed, like, wow, you guys are really different than you used to be, and it's wonderful, and just such a beautiful feeling to know that recovery has so many results other than just the weight loss. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Kathy M. I believe she's from Michigan. Donna B., you will be next. And when you share, just give us your state. Okay, Donna?
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm calling from Denver, Colorado. And right now, you know, I bring myself to the meeting. And so when I listen to this paragraph, I see it through the lens of what's going on in my own life, which has nothing to do with divorce or separation or my marriage. But these words, undo haste. And when the time for living together has come, it will be apparent to both parties. One of my defects of character, which is listed as a form of dishonesty, is holding on to inaccurate beliefs. And one of the beliefs that plagues me constantly is that it has to be done now. Everything, whether it's returning an email, whether it's putting the dishes away. And in this particular case, my son had kind of a challenging summer at an overnight camp that he attended and has been attending for many years, and my daughter attended for many years, and he came back, and I decided, that's it. He's not going back to that camp. I have to find another camp. And my family is just looking at me like I'm crazy. It's August. And I'm researching camps all over the country, and I'm talking to people and asking them what they thought about the camps, and I'm making appointments with directors of the camp. In the meantime, my son has said to me, he doesn't want to go to another camp. He wants to go back to the same camp. He loves that camp. So this concept of undue haste in relationships, whether I'm acting too quickly and trying to resolve it, or whether I'm acting too quickly in trying to dissolve it, I need to slow down. You know, in my 10 steps, what comes up over and over again is to slow down, to wait for what is apparent to both parties to be revealed to me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. Okay, I am ready to take more names. Hope you are. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Sherry Z from California.
Yes, Sherry. Thank you.
Mona
I'm sorry. Is it Ramona or Mona?
Mona.
Mona. What's your first initial to your last name, Mona?
F.
Yes, and just when you share, just give us your state, where you live, and whom else would like to come to get it, to share after Mona?
Barbara W., Washington State.
Well, let me see. I heard of Barbara first. Barbara, is that right, Barbara?
Yes, Barbara W. from Washington State.
Got it. Okay, and the next person, please.
Nancy L. in Arizona.
Nancy L., Arizona. Anybody else?
Francoise from Montreal.
Oh, Francoise. From, would you say from what, Canada? No. Where are you from? What's your first initial, Francois?
From Canada.
Okay, and your first initial to your last name? First initial to your last name is what, Francois? Okay, we'll give it to you when you'll give it to us when you share.
My initial
All right.
is like Charlie.
C, right?
Correct.
Is that C like Charlie? Thank you so much. All right. Okay. Sherry Z from California, it is your turn.
Good morning, visionaries. Thank you all for your service. This is Sherry Z, recovered in California. I came into program in 1989 and found this program a little under, found Vision a little under 2 years ago and thankfully recovered. But for years, every day I would call my sponsor and complain about my husband. And when it came to my ninth step this time, I had to make amends to my sponsor because she often said to me, you know, I don't need to hear about what's wrong with him. I need you to fix what's wrong with you. And I didn't want to hear it. And I constantly was impatient with him. And it's not that I didn't love him. It's that he didn't agree with me. And when I got into Vision and I got recovered about, I'll just share this. In OA, my husband to complain about all the time I spent in meetings with going to and fro and sponsors and calls. About 7 months into Vision, my husband, I made amends to him. I was no longer complaining. He said to me, I'll never, ever bother you about your meetings and your sponsees and your sponsors anymore because I feel loved by you. And I realized that I was toxic. I was constantly complaining, and he felt unloved. And by keeping my side of the street clean and keeping the focus on me and not being impatient, like the previous speakers just said, letting him be, being patient, not doing a 10-step when necessary, but not taking it to him, he found that I loved him, which I always did, but he didn't feel it in the same way. So just one of the gifts that recovery has given me and one of the ways that my marriage is so more peaceful because I'm not ready to attack him every moment. I'm actually letting him be. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your share. That was Sherry Z from California. Okay, now we got Mona S. And where are you from, Mona?
Nancy, it's Nancy. Can you hear me?
No, it's Mona.
Yes.
And where are you from, Mona?
Okay, I am from Montana, and this is the only second time I've spoken, so a little nervous. But I felt like I really should address this because, you know, when we're talking about marriages, relationships, I remember how scary that was for me. In another program, 8 years into our marriage, after a couple of deaths in my family, we were really in crisis. And I had to go to treatment for codependency. Bob had to start doing his own work. We had come together in our codependency, and it wasn't working. And by the grace of God, my partner was willing to do the work. And we both did a lot of work. And he also is in recovery in a different program as I am. And we had to grow up in the 12 steps because we were both emotionally immature. So I want to share that because I want to give other people hope. If you work this program and really learn how to stay on your side of the street, and learn how to address problems in a respectful manner, we can get through it. And I had a really difficult day yesterday. I'm only a couple of months into this program, and I had a messy meal last night, which is a red flag to me. And thank God I talked to my sponsor this morning, who was wonderful. We've got a plan for the day. But my husband sat at the kitchen table. I worked today, and he told me what he was going to do for dinner, which is exactly what I need in my program. He is supporting me in the program. And we will, in October, have been together 44 years. And at 7 years, 8 years, we were almost ready to walk away from each other. So I hope that gives people hope, because that paragraph is a tough one, a scary one. But if we remember to listen to God to guide us and do this work, we can grow up in the 12 steps and be more respectful of ourselves and our partners and others as well. So that's all I've got. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Mona S. from Montana. And I want to thank everybody for watching the time. And just a quick reminder that we're on page 99, paragraph 2. It's beginning with, if there be divorce or separation, ending with, it will be apparent to both parties. One paragraph only. Okay, we have Barbara W. and then Nancy L. Barbara, state.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. All right.
Okay. What state are you from, Barbara?
Washington State.
Okay. Good enough. Please go ahead.
Well, I had to share on this paragraph. And my story is a bit of the opposite of what many of the people have been sharing. When my children were like 7, 5, and 2, and they're now very much grown adults and have children of their own. But when they were very young, my then husband came home one night and he said, basically, we can't be married forever. And I went, my heart just went plummeting and I couldn't figure out why. And I had been going to OA meetings in my neighborhood. There had been a small meeting that had popped up, and I started going. And I was really enjoying it. I felt that I was, you know, things were changing, and I felt like my eating was much better. I was finding, I think, some neutrality, or at least finding a way to plan my meals so that they were healthy and abstinent. And since I wasn't a wage earner, and I very much couldn't really go out and spend money on food, and I think that was part of it. But what turned out is that the whole process, we did end up getting divorced, and gosh, that was way back in 1980. And the what came out of this whole thing was that it turned out that he was also a compulsive overeater, and he had been in on my case about my issues around food. And when we parted ways, and I ended up being a single mother to my daughter, and he was the father to the two boys, and we lived in the same area. We worked out things amicably. But it turned out that he was also very much a compulsive overeater, and our relationship just had no... I was the one in recovery. I was the one working for my own, finding some own personal power and growing up, so to speak. I like that word, growing up. But it really broke my heart that we couldn't work things out. And as my own parents had been divorced. But I see my adult children, and their marriages have been like 18 and 23 years so far. And I am just feeling eternally blessed that they have found a path. And I know they have their emotional damage from the whole business. but in the process, here I am at 77, and I'm growing. I'm sticking with the program, and I'm working with a sponsor who's really on.
Gentle reminder.
And I'll wrap up with this. And has really gotten me examining my life as it is today, and I really am grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Barbara W. from Washington. Now we have Nancy L. from Arizona. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Janice. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Wow, what wonderful shares this morning. When I got married, and I finally found a wedding dress that fit me, it was a size 16 and a half. I'd been, you know, overeating since I was 5 years old, got married at 23, and my husband just loved me just the way I was. And I just continued to eat and eat and eat, and for the next 30 years. But I found OA. I found my higher power. I found my relief from this obsession to eat and eat and eat. And I am happy to say these last four, I should say that the marriage, for sure, was very, very rocky those 30 years. But the last 20 years have just been a dream come true for the most part. Yeah, there's been some ups and downs, of course. But he has, he's really changed. I haven't said a word, and he's dropped like 3 pant sizes. He goes to the gym 3 times a week, and he walks with me almost every morning. I haven't said anything to him about what he should do. He's just followed suit because I think he's seen the change in me and the change that the 12 steps has brought in me. He's never been to a meeting, but he is my hero. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you so much. That was Nancy L. from Arizona. Now we have Francois C. from Canada. Good morning, Francois.
Good morning. This is Francois C. from Montreal in Canada. And this paragraph, it just brings so many things racing through my brain. I remember the first year that my husband and I lived together, I think I gained like 60 pounds in that year. And my disease was just rampant. And I couldn't understand why he was staying with me. Just couldn't. And I remember looking at him one time saying, like, how can you be with me? Like, what do you see? I'm so, you know, all I could see was my fat and my disease and my brain being terrible. And his answer was, all I see is you. So fast forward, and I came back to OA in 2009. And I've really struggled a lot with my recovery and with relapse, except that it's turbulent. Like, our marriage is so turbulent. And I love taking his inventory. I love, like, I'm always critical of him. But through this program and having found a higher power, I am now realizing that I can choose to look at the negative side of things, or I can choose to look at the positive side. And what stops me tracks is whenever I'm ready to walk out the door, I think I can't live like this, you know, because we have our issues like every other marriage. I sit there and say, what would my higher power want me to be? Or what would my higher power want me to do? And the only thing that keeps coming back, the words that haunt me that a friend of mine shared, was my higher power wants me to be love, to be tolerant, to be kind. And it's those words and living the steps of the program that I think it's the only reason why our marriage is still together, because my higher power is working with me. And, you know, working on me, I have enough to work on in my recovery that I don't have to work on my husband's recovery. He has his own higher power. So I'm really, really grateful that I have this program and that each day is a day that brings me a little bit more sanity in my life and you know, greater abstinence as well. And I love this meeting with all of you. With that, I'll pass.
And thank you so much, Francoise, from Canada. I believe we can hear two more people who would like to go next. At least two. First, I want to unmute. Anybody?
In Riverside, California.
I heard California. I didn't get that first name. Sorry.
Nancy L. in Riverside, California.
Oh, we have two Nancy L's, huh? Nancy L. from California. And somebody else, please.
Hi, this is Sandra J. from California. Hello?
Sandra. Oh, yeah. Sandra J. Sure. Okay. How about if we hear Nancy L. from Riverside? Go ahead, Nancy.
Good morning. This is Nancy L. in Riverside, California. I listen every day. I don't share all the time, and I should. But this really spoke to me because I had been divorced 20 years when I came into program, and so much so I didn't even put my ex-husband on my inventory. Ha ha. It came back later, and I did. But I have found that I was so emotionally turbulent at the time that I could not maintain a healthy relationship. And because of program, and because I had resigned myself to the apology that I was never thought I was going to get. So I apologized to him, but I never thought I would get the apology back. And last year, because we have become through program and through me letting it go, wonderful parents and co-parents and co-grandparents of our family. And we actually are on friendly terms, which is, you know, the best I can expect and that I want. But he actually came to me and made his amends to me last Thanksgiving. I mean, it's an amends I never thought I would get. And we actually had an open, honest conversation for the first time in 23 years and came to a deeper respect and understanding of each other. And our relationship is better now, divorced. He's in another relationship, and so am I, than it ever was. And I think that's because I'm learning to deal with my issues in the program. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Nancy L. Now, before you, Sandra J., I made a big mistake. I forgot to give you people the share ID. So here they are for Wednesday. That's August the 9th, 2023, the 10 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time, is 20,526. That's 20,526. And today's Thursday, what did I do with it? Oh, dear, dear. The 7 a.m. meeting is, hold on, I know I have it here. Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. God will forgive me. Okay, the 7 a.m. meeting this morning is 20,528. That's 20,528. Okay, now we're going to hear from Sandra J., California.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, Sandra, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Sandra from California, Palo Alto, and I'm really so happy to be a part of A Vision for You. I don't get to share much. I really kind of shut down, and you know, and I want to be perfect when I share all of that. And you know, I'm learning now how crazy all that is. And this is the program that my higher power has given me, my God. And, you know, just to make a new lease on life. And when I look at this paragraph on divorce, you know, my idea of relationships have been so toxic that I don't even want to share on how awful I've been. But I did go into relationships and marriage thinking that I could get out of it with divorce. And I just have still so much work to do. I've been in OA for, and I've gotten a lot of physical recovery in OA over 30 years. And I'm grateful for that. And, you know, I just thought that that was the catch me out. That's what it was all about. And I've been to another relationship, one divorce, and the other one I just walked away from. I didn't, you know, it was too much, really, to handle. And now I wish I had the depth of recovery, you know, to help me. So I know I'll be able to do a lot more work on this and, you know, speak up. Part of what I'm feeling is that I just don't want to speak up how hard it is to say what's going on in my head and in my heart. But I have a sponsor now that I'm working with, and I am really grateful for this program. That this gratitude has saved me, and this recovery has saved me. So with that, I'll pass. And this is Sandra.
Perfect
J.
timing. Yeah, Sandra, thank you for speaking up. Yeah. Okay, we have 2 minutes. Who would like to take that share? Just about 2 minutes.
Sandy from California.
Okay, Sandy, you got it. Thank you. Go ahead, Deb.
Thank you all for being here, and thank you for everyone that makes it work. Going through relapse and starting each day anew and being brave, turning my courage over to my higher power. Your words all touch me and help to heal me. And I want to thank every one of you. Goodbye.
And thank you so much, Sandy, from California. We appreciate everyone here. And so now we're going to close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and hold on for newcomers and sponsors. All righty. So now will Sherry Z. Would you read 164 for us? Star 1 to unmute.
All right. Yep, I'm right here. 164.
Yes. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And
great.
Keep you until then. Yep.
Sherry Z. recovered in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.